ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله، all praise be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's given sinners like ourselves the tawfiq and the blessings to come to the third blessed haram, the blessed and most glorious Masjid al-Aqsa. So, as always, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would mention the amazing virtues of the various deeds. So inshallah, to have two sessions discussing the virtue and history of this glorious Masjid. So the first way to look at the awesome virtues of this magnificent Masjid is to look at the blessings that Allah the Almighty and Glorious has focused upon this blessed land. So the way to look at it is there's three tiers to the divine mercy. So if you were to picture a magnifying glass and you focus the beam, that's the first blessing. If you intensify the beam, that's the second blessing. And when the beam starts literally to burn, that's the third blessing. So keep that image in your mind. So the first descent of the divine blessing, where is it found? In Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Hakim states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi, Sahih. Tabarani, Ibn Hibban, Sahih. Mishkat, and it's Sahih in Sahih al-Jami, number 3920. Zayd ibn Thabit, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger, he said twice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tuba lisham. Tuba lisham. Glad tidings for Asham. Glad tidings for Asham. The Sahaba asked, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, why is that, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for the angels of Ar-Rahman have spread their wings over it. Subhanallah. For the angels of Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala, have spread their wings over it. So let's look at this. So first of all, it's a flawless report. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. It's a sahih hadith. So the Prophet said some amazing words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tuba lisham. Tuba means two things. It means an amazing tree in paradise. And the tree is beyond description. The other meaning is glad tidings. So what is sham? What was the Prophet referring to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was referring to four modern geographical countries. Syria, Jordan, Palestine, and Lebanon. So this is the first magnifying glass of the divine mercy. On these four modern geographical countries, the angels of Ar-Rahman have spread their wings over it. What's one of the four countries? Palestine. So this is the first divine blessing. The angels of Ar-Rahman have spread their wings over this land. But then, number two, Allah the Almighty and Glorious intensifies it for Palestine. How do we know? So first of all, let me mention a virtue of another part of the world under Sham, showing the mercy. In Abu Dawud, Ahmad Hakim, Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, number 2116, Abu Darda, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Damascus is one of the most blessed cities of Asham. Damascus is one of the most blessed cities of Asham. So note Syria. The angels of Ar-Rahman have spread their wings over Asham. So in Syria, Damascus, the capital of Syria, modern day, is one of the most blessed cities, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Now let's focus more upon the divine mercy. In Kanzul Umal, our beloved Messenger, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Palestine particularly holy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Palestine particularly holy. So note the magnifying glass. Sham is blessed. Four modern geographical countries. Palestine is more blessed. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is particularly holy. More blessings are in Palestine. Then, the eye of the storm, or the epicenter of the divine mercy, no greater mercy descends in Ash-Sham. Where? Than in Jerusalem. Where is the proof? First, the Quran. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 21. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Ard al-muqaddasa. Subhanallah. Ard al-muqaddasa. The Holy Land. Now think about that. Allah the Almighty and Glorious is quoting Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he describes Jerusalem as Ard al-muqaddasa. Where are we now sitting? The Holy Land. Sham is blessed. It intensifies in Palestine. It intensifies to the maximum in Jerusalem. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, look at the words He's using. Ard al-Muqaddasa, the Holy Land. If Allah the Almighty and Glorious calls the land holy, there is absolutely no doubt it is holy. Why? Why is Jerusalem the epicenter of the divine mercy in Ash-Sham? Ibn Abbas explained, radiyallahu anhu, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, he said, the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam lived in Jerusalem. Allahu Akbar. Indeed, there is not a single inch of Quds where a Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has not prayed, or an angel alayhi salatu wasalam not stood. Allahu Akbar. Now the answer is given. Why is Jerusalem the holiest place in Palestine, in Sham? Because the prophets lived in it. Imagine. If somebody goes real estate outside of the Hijaz, the greatest place on earth is Jerusalem. Why? The first reason, who lived here? Imagine. The holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, breathed, lived, married, had children, did business. This is the city. Secondly, there is not a single inch of Quds. Now, Quds isn't Masjid al-Aqsa. Quds is Jerusalem. Think about that. There is not a single inch where a prophet has not prayed. Not just Masjid al-Aqsa, where our hotel is, or the hostel. Not an inch where a prophet has not prayed. How many prophets were here that caused this to occur, alayhi salatu wasalam, or an angel not stood? Now, why is that so important to highlight? Because there is nowhere else on earth, including Makkah and Medina, where we do not know for certain where the Prophet prayed. Where is the exact spot? Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. You get ikhtilaf. But in Jerusalem, Allah Ta'ala has taken that away from you. Because there is no doubt a Prophet has prayed in every inch of Quds. Whether you're in Aqsa or outside of Aqsa. Question, what if you're in Aqsa? Then it's, like you say, the computer fail ho gaya. And the angels have stood, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now why is this a haram? In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, every prophet has a haram. Allahu Akbar. Every prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has a haram. Now what is a haram? The prophets are so intensely high in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that wherever they reside, He makes it a sanctuary. Masjid al-Haram is a sanctuary. Why is it called haram? The Kaaba, the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, Masjid al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is a haram. Why? Because of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Masjid al-Aqsa is a haram. Why? Every prophet has a haram. Now, if one prophet produces a haram, then what about 124,000? Alayhi salatu wasalam. And every one of them has prayed in this masjid. So this haram is truly intensified in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the history in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu, he goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the first masjid built for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Haram, Masjid al-Haram, i.e. the Holy Kaaba. Then Abu Dharr asked radiyallahu, what was the next masjid built, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Masjid al-Aqsa. Third question, what was the time between the construction of the two holy masjids? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 40 years. Now think about that. The Holy Kaaba, what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious call it in the Quran? Baytul Atiq, in Surah Hajj, the ancient house. If Allah Ta'ala calls something ancient, you better understand it's ancient. In Tabarani, the Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did his first tawaf around the Kaaba. Jibreel congratulated him alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, 50,000 years before you was created, I did tawaf around the Kaaba. The Kaaba predates human beings. It's that ancient. Just 40 years after the Holy Kaaba, Masjid al-Aqsa was built. How ancient is Masjid al-Aqsa? Think about that, right? So this is how ancient this Haram is. Allahu Akbar. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he said in Fath al-Bari, I am inclined towards those who say that Allah, that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first to lay the foundation of Al-Aqsa. So Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayhi, Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith, he says, my preference, my heart goes towards this, that Masjid al-Aqsa was built by Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now why did he not say it with certainty? Because there's other reports. But he favored this. Why? Because who raised the Kaaba? It was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. If there's only 40 years between Aqsa and the Haram, you think, well, it must be Adam also alayhi salatu wasalam. Think about that. Our father, universal father, raised this masjid. Look how ancient this masjid is. Your father, his father, the Chinese father, the Mongolian's father, the Australian, everybody's father, he built this masjid. Allahu Akbar. Why is there a difference of opinion? Because Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir, he mentions other views who built Aqsa. One view is it's the angels who built Aqsa alayhi salatu wasalam. The blessed angels raised this masjid. Another view is it was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the first messenger, who raised this masjid. The third view, it was Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam who raised this masjid. And the fourth view is Allah Ta'ala knows best. But Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi says, my preference is it was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and this seems logical. So think about the history of this place. This was the first Qibla of the Muslims. Think about that. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he build first? The Holy Kaaba. When he built it, that wasn't his Qibla. Look how strange that must have been for him. He built it, he goes, face Masjid al-Aqsa. Even though it wasn't even built. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, his son succeeded him, Sheith alayhi salatu wasalam. His Qibla was Masjid al-Aqsa. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's Qibla was Masjid al-Aqsa. The Kaaba was predating it, yet they couldn't face it. Imagine going through all the list of the holy prophets. Their entire life, they faced this masjid. This was their Qibla, including our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But what happened? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in Makkah, and he was lining up the Kaaba with Masjid al-Aqsa. So he was facing Aqsa, but he was going through the Kaaba. When he was forced to migrate from the city he loved more than anything, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he couldn't now line up the Kaaba with Masjid al-Aqsa. Because to one side was Masjid al-Aqsa, the opposite side was the Kaaba. His back was turned to the Kaaba now. And then the Hadith and the Quran mention something very touching. When the Prophet migrated, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for 16, 17 months, that's almost 1.5 years, the Quran says, We have seen you turning your eyes to the heavens. And we will now turn you to a Qibla which is beloved to you. Turn your face to Masjid al-Haram. Now look how beautiful this is. This shows his beautiful character, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't ask. Why? He was thinking, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the Qibla of all my fathers and brothers. Masjid al-Aqsa. How can I ask for the Kaaba? And all he was doing, the Quran says, was he was looking at the heavens like this. Look how touching that is. And Allah Ta'ala knew what he was yearning for. But for 16, 17 months, imagine 1.5 years, he's looking at the heavens, sighing. Allah Ta'ala then says, I'm now going to make you turn to a Qibla that will please you. He goes, turn your face to the Kaaba Sharif. Where's the proof? In Sahih Bukhari, number 90. Sahih Muslim, number 525. Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 5941. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu said, it was the first Qibla. It remained so for 16 or 17 months after the Hijrah. Bukhari and Muslim, one of the senior Sahaba said, for 1.5 years when the Prophet was in Medina, we faced Masjid al-Aqsa. Now look how amazing. When the command came, some of the Sahaba, they were in a place called Masjid Qiblatain. They were facing Masjid al-Aqsa. During the Salat, imagine, Asr, somebody comes running. He goes, the Qibla has changed. During Salat, imagine, the Imam now does a complete turnaround. He walks around his Saf. The only time in history this ever happened. The Imam starts walking, walks around his Saf, turns completely into the direction of the Kaaba. And all the Muqtadis did was, they did a 180. Allah Ta'ala loved that so much that he left a masjid there called Masjid Qiblatain. And when you go into that masjid in Medina, there's two mihrabs. Because this was the old mihrab and this was the new mihrab. And that's why it's called Masjid Qiblatain. People don't realize when they go into these places. So note, now we have been given a Qibla. Think about that. That wasn't given to 123,999 prophets. Barring, of course, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and the honorable exceptions. Think about, who are we? Who are the prophets? We face the Kaaba as if it's nothing. And yeah, Allah Ta'ala has given us something that He's not given to. And look how beloved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is. Allah Ta'ala refused to give it to the previous prophets. Yes, you can build the Kaaba, but it's not your Qibla. Imagine, who built the Kaaba? Adam. It's not your Qibla. Why? Because you are not the most beloved of my servants. Who built the Kaaba again? Ibrahim. This is not, imagine, his son, not your Qibla. And only when the Prophet was looking at the heavens, like this, sighing, Allah Ta'ala says, now we will turn your face to the place that you love, Aida Haram. Allahu Akbar. So now, why have I mentioned this? This was the direction that he faced when he went on the Mihraj. People forget to mention that. When he came to the Isra and Mihraj, he left Makkah. Where did he go? He came here. Where was he facing? Masjid al-Aqsa. It wasn't the Kaaba Sharif. And then he went into the heavens, which we'll discuss at the relevant time. He came back, still Masjid al-Aqsa. He goes back to Makkah, still Masjid al-Aqsa. 3 years in Makkah, still Masjid al-Aqsa. 1.5 years after Hijrah, still Masjid al-Aqsa. Then finally, the last 10 blessed years of his holy life, now the Kaaba. Think about that. That's for us. Allah Ta'ala loves us that much. He gave us a Qibla that wasn't even given to the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, so let's summarize. The magnifying glass of divine mercy in Sham has hit Sham. The divine mercy, the four countries, Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon. It intensifies on Palestine. And it goes absolutely berserk in Quds, Jerusalem, where in the epicenter of the greatest blessings descending in Asham. Think about that. We're drowning in the divine mercy at this very moment, whether we understand it or not. Now what else? Think about this. If that wasn't enough, what else does Allah Ta'ala say about this sanctuary? In Surah Isra, Surah 17 verse 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذي باركنا حوله, whose surroundings we have blessed. Allahu Akbar. Isn't it enough that he's bombarding Quds? No. Allah Ta'ala says, not only have I bombarded Quds, I'm going to bombard its surroundings. Whose surroundings we have blessed. You can only understand that when you do a tour of Masjid Al-Aqsa. You think every corner I'm going, what is this guy telling me? A prophet's buried here. You're blown away. You go to another corner. This is the chamber of Siddiqa Maryam. You're blown away. You go to another corner. This is the chamber of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. You're blown away. You go to another corner. These are where the Sahaba are buried. And then you're going back to your hotel days thinking, it's too good to be true. Why is it? Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in the Quran, Alladhi barakna hawlahu, whose surroundings we have blessed. Meaning, it's not enough that I've bombarded Jerusalem. I'm going to bombard its surroundings. So around the masjid, you're walking around Jannah. Think about that. Every corner, you actually feel it, even if you don't know any text. As soon as you went through the gates this morning, for the first time for many of you, how did you feel? You can't even explain it. You're thinking, have I entered? Where am I now? It's like I've entered another world, but I can't explain it. You can't explain it, right? You entered the place where Allah Ta'ala is bombarding with his rahmah upon this holy place. Now think about it. Look at the tragedy. What was the atom bomb that Allah Ta'ala left, the greatest blessing to ever hit Masjid Al-Aqsa? The greatest blessing without a shadow of a doubt that hit Masjid Al-Aqsa was Rasulullah. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala kept him away. Because I'm bombarding this place. Millennia. Prophets being buried here. Siddiqs, Sahaba. Not enough. Allah Ta'ala goes, I've left one magnificent, priceless, fathomless treasure. And his time will arrive soon. So when he came, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from Makkah to Jerusalem, we don't appreciate that. Allah Ta'ala goes, this is my final gift to Aqsa. I'm sending my most beloved servant in the most honorable way. The atom bomb had arrived. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So imagine when he put his holy foot on this land, everything else was eclipsed. But when people talk about the Isra Miraj, they don't give you that majesty because he came from Makkah to Jerusalem. The way you said that, it's like it's a normal thing. The greatest blessing to ever hit this holy sanctuary was Rasulullah. Imagine when he entered. Now you're diving into the fathomless mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, Alladhi barakna hawlahu, whose surroundings I have blessed, glorified and free from all imperfection, who carried his servant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Alladhi barakna hawlahu, whose surroundings we have blessed. Why does he mention the servant first? The greatest blessing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, I've left him. So when his Mubarak foot touched his ground, now what's it worth? Imagine. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at the history. The tragedy. Look at the history of this place. What happened? When Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed that verse, Subhanalladhi, glorified and free from all imperfection, is he who brought his servant from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. What does he call these two places? Masjid. Masjid al-Haram and Masjid al-Aqsa. But when this verse was revealed, what was the state of these two masjids? Masjid al-Haram had 360 idols around it when that verse was revealed. When that verse was revealed, what was happening in Masjid al-Aqsa? It was a scrapyard. The Christian authorities had made the Dome of the Rock into a place of where they put filth. Despite idol worship around the Holy Kaaba, despite the filth they'd put in Aqsa, Allah Ta'ala still described the masjids as masjids. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to call it until you purify it. Now, why is that so important for us to understand? Because Allah Ta'ala is telling you in the Quran, no matter what filth takes place, who's in charge of the sanctuaries? They are still my masjids. People say today, who's in charge of, we don't give a monkeys. Don't care what's happening. Because no, but we haven't got control. Who gives the monkeys? Why? Read the Quran. When that verse was revealed, there was idols around the Kaaba. Allah Ta'ala was my masjid. Despite your filth. The rubbish and filth around Masjid Al-Aqsa, he my masjid, my servant. So don't worry. These are all things that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, giving you comfort. Despite what oppression is taking place in the, but alhamdulillah, one of the harams is purified now. But whether it's purified or not, it's still our haram. Why? We have always a connection with these holy places. Now, who cleared the Dome of the Rock? Our master, Sayyidina Umar. I'm going to mention this more at length, inshallah, when we've got time. Sayyidina Umar came, radiallahu anhu. Look at how amazing it is. He enters like a prophet, patched clothes. They're looking, they don't even understand. Who is this, a prophet? He goes, no, he acts like one. He gets to the Dome of the Rock. Imagine the beautiful place. Filth. He's heartbroken. He rolls his sleeves up, radiallahu anhu. Doesn't even tell anybody. Starts cleaning the filth himself. Imagine. Allahu Akbar. And immediately all the other sahab jumped. And imagine Jews looking at this. Who is this man showing such veneration? Not even telling his servants. Imagine, the strongest man on earth is doing it himself. Why? It's an honor to serve the masjid. Imagine the filth he had to put his Mubarak hands on. Menstrual rags. Imagine. Think about that. Right? It's an honor. I'm serving the masjid. Sahaba started clearing Masjid Al-Aqsa. And what happened? When it was cleared, they were weeping. Then it was time for azan. So Umar radiallahu anhu starts looking around. And Bilal was there. And Bilal had vowed he'd never do the azan again. And then he turns to Bilal radiallahu anhu and he goes, don't you see the mujahideen, O Bilal? Because they're tired. And they're yearning to be reminded of the messenger of Allah. He didn't even tell him to do it. Bilal looks and he couldn't refuse. And the first ever azan that took place in this most holy of sanctuaries was by Bilal. Another honor given to this holy city. Who was the first muazzin in this holy place? Bilal, the muazzin of Rasulullah. And everybody burst into tears because they thought the Prophet was with them again. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, bombarding. Then what happened? In the year 1187, almost 900 years ago, 500 years after Umar radiallahu anhu, the magnificent Salahuddin Ayyubi took the city again. Guess what's happened again? Masjid Al-Aqsa has become a scrapyard. They've done it again. Who's done it? The Christians. Because they had problems with the Jews. Because we have no respect for you. You killed Christ. And they made the Dome of the Rock into a scrapyard. Salahuddin, look how amazing. Rolls his blessed shirt up. Starts clearing it with his Mubarak hands. And all the Mujahideen jumped in again. History was replaying itself. 500 years after Umar radiallahu anhu. And he cleared it again. Now why is this very symbolic? Because this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Muslims. This masjid has been violated again and again. Who does Allah Ta'ala eventually give the honor to? The Muslims. Allah Ta'ala will give us honor again. Think about that. When the Honorable Imam Mahdi comes, radiallahu anhu, what will be his capital? This blessed land, Jerusalem. Think about that. He'll be the Imam of the Masjid, Imam Mahdi, radiallahu anhu. Why? Because this land is blessed beyond measure. And imagine, sinners like ourselves have come here. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to come here into this glorious sanctuary. And inshallah, I will spend the second session later talking about this illustrious and most holy place. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He increases our love for these most glorious harams, to respect and venerate it as it truly deserves to be venerated and respected, and to graciously forgive our sins, not due to our efforts, but due to the glorious du'as of the glorious holy prophets and messengers. Alayhi salatu wa salam. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله